Leave Your Excuses After the Beep, a podcast created for anyone who has ever used an excuse to not do something that you said you would. Does this sound familiar?
From busy, overworked, stressed out moms to thriving moms, wives, and health coaches, Kitty Clemens and Kyla McComas are Midwest moms who are breaking down excuses and empowering others to do the same.
Listen in to hear which of our excuses we break down next. I'm Kyla McComas.
And I'm Kitty Clemens. All right, welcome back to season two, episode four of Leave Your Excuses After the Beep with Kitty and Kyla. Welcome back, Miss Kyla.
An interesting perspective when things don't go your way necessarily.
Tell us more. What didn't go your way
on your trip? Like, you know, we go to this beautiful treehouse and in on top of the mountain in Tennessee, and it was awesome. It was everything that you could imagine it would be, but like things happened, and it was. Our power went out like right when we checked in, and then it went out for like 5 hours. And then the condensation of like the, where you could actually like see out to where the roof is over the bed, there was like a crack in there or something was, you know, loose. So we, you know, there's dripping the whole time. And then we just had some things that were like missing. And it just goes to show, like, first of all, this stuff happens. And second of all, like, how do you adapt to things when they just don't go your way when, or go as expected, you know, like before yeah. I was in this mindset of, oh, I mean, of course, like if I'm spending a lot of money, I'm expecting, you know, something that is just as great in return. Right. But it's like one of those things where I just was like, yeah, I spent money, but on the other side, these things were so good for me to happen. Okay, am I going to get mad and upset that, you know, these things happen out of the other person's control? So it was out of our control. And like before, I probably would have livid because I'm spending money. I have this expectation. What are you going to do about it? What, you know, are you going to give me my money back? Are you going to XYZ? Like I sat there and, you know, maybe some of the girls took it a different way. I don't really know because I'm like, I don't need to be in that drama triangle. Not saying that they did, but it was just more like me as a person, I can only control myself. And it was totally like, I walked away and I'm like, when those things happened, it was awesome. I mean, it was like awesome the way like I dealt with it personally. And like I just said, I have control over myself. And it was like, I took advantage. I mean, I took advantage of being disconnected from my phone. I did a, you know, puzzle in a quick amount of time, like never done a puzzle that fast because usually I'm, you know, distracted or something. Had conversations and it was just so cool to experience that. And even leading up to the place, you know, there was just some fun things that some people would think it would have been a weird experience, but I was like, this is great. I love how this just turned out and what happened. And, but so it was just good to finally not be so on an agenda and just could really just adapt to it. And it really made you realize like we're so dependent on certain things. I can have a conversation outside of my phone or social media or, and I love that. I love having, you know, talking to people, but it was a cool experience to say the least. And I know that I just carried on for a bit longer than what you probably expected, but it was nice to actually, for me to recognize that even my shift in my mindset of how maybe in the past would have been different, or I would have been frustrated, or I would, well, when's the power going to come back on? When does it come back on? Or mm-hmm. Are we on it? Are we fixing it? And I was just kind of like, this is cool. I'm gonna wing it. And luckily they had board games and all that stuff, and it was great. So totally different perspective. Maybe even totally different than what we were gonna talk about today, but
kind of segues in actually quite well to what our topic for today, or the phrase that we were kind of going to kind of break down, was the idea that, you know, why is it so easy to identify all of our problems over coming up with the solutions to those problems? And I think you can definitely apply that to those unmet expectations that you can look at your trip, and depending on who also took that trip with you, they may have a completely different outlook on, like, that was awful, that was terrible, it wasn't worth my money. We sat in the dark, we got dripped on, nothing went as planned, or you missed out on this or that or whatever. Because it's easy for us to identify with problems. And you mentioned the drama triangle, and I have to rehash the drama triangle, because I feel like as adults, we are in the drama triangle all of the time. We're either trying to be the hero, like we want to fix everybody. We want to be the person that's likable, be the person that, you know, can adapt to anything and everything, but yet we lose ourselves in the process because we're trying to do so much for everyone else that we lose our sense of, you know, what it is that we're actually here to do or need to do for ourselves. Or we're the total victim, where everything's happening to me. And it's always, why me? Why is this happening to me? All this stuff is happening, but yet the majority of the time, we have no control over any of it. All we have control over is our perception of that. And you alluded to that with your trip. So I think that's great. So in diving into some of this thought process behind why is it so easy for us to identify the problems and the negativity? We've talked about negative thoughts in the past when it comes to just our everyday thinking. But when we sit down and we think, I've got 1,000 problems, why is it so easy for us to come up with 1,000 problems and no solutions? Like, what is that even? Why do we do that? And so we've kind of identified a few areas that seem to make sense, right? When you're looking at problems. And that first one is that negativity bias, right? Like our bodies, our brains are automatically going toward that negative response and looking for the negative. So when you're seeking out negativity, you lose the positivity. Like you just don't see it. It's just like that whole, it's the, like the whole red car phenomenon. Like you don't pay attention to red cars, but you decide, oh, you know, I'm interested in a red car. And suddenly everyone has the red car. You see it everywhere because that's where your focus is. We innately do that with negative thoughts and negativity. Mm-hmm. That's just our reset, our brain reset. Like that's where our brain resets to, is negativity. So
yeah,
we have to actively seek out and promote positive thinking and look for the positivity in order for us to be able to appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
That's totally, maybe it'll go together, but like, when you were saying that, it reminded me of another part of my trip. Of I walked into this donut store and not very busy. It was just like me and two of the girls and then a new, you know, customer behind us. I was placing the order because we were just going to share, you know, one or two donuts or whatever. And the employee was literally like, the first question, how many donuts are we going to get today? And I was like, I just looked at the girls and I was like, yeah, do we want two or do we want three? And then they're like, no, let's keep it at two or something. And then I turned back to the employee and the person was totally negative. Just like, well, I asked you a question. How many donuts do you want? Okay. Like, don't need to be like that. Three or four, you know, negative things after that from this employee. As I walked out, I was talking to the girls. I was like, you know, I'm just here to bring the sunshine to people's faces, because that's a prime example. I know we don't know what's going on in that person's life. I know everybody has like something. And unfortunately, this person, you know, brought it through the door. But it's exactly kind of like what you just said, where it was just a negative thing. It was so negative. So then I was either going to stay in that negativity with that employee and maybe even transfer it over to my friends because I'm upset that this employee treated me the way that they did. And I can also only imagine what the other staff members feel like, you know, to be around somebody that was so negative. And so I know that may not be exactly what you just said, but it totally like transfers to, you know, if you're thinking negative, if you're being negative, you're acting negative, and that's, are you going to be in that drama triangle with that person, or are you going to lift yourself up and stay positive through it? Even when you don't want to, even when you want to be like, you know, he treated me like dirt, like, you know, you're like, so then you want to like, just bring that to everybody else and be like, yeah, this employee was so mean to me. And it's just like, you want to be like that?
Yeah.
No, do I think that question that, like, do you want to,
no, do you right? want to be yeah. like that? You don't need to take that negativity with you. Right. We have enough negativity ourselves. We don't need to take it on other people's.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
yes, a great example of how it's really easy to identify a problem, right? A problem or something that's negative. So something that makes solutions more difficult to come by, right? Like, we'll hear a lot of people talk about problems, but when it comes to solutions, oh, I don't know. It's not for me to figure out. Oh, whatever. but some of that comes from, you know, like, we lack creativity in order to find a solution that's going to be something different that we haven't already tried before. We have to get creative with what that looks like. And we don't want to do that. Like, people are, you know, people don't feel like they're overly creative. They don't want to think outside the box. They find it really challenging to come up with unique and innovative strategies and solutions. And it's easy to identify a problem, you know, when something's not going right, you can be like, hey, this isn't going right. Well, what can we do to fix that? Well, I don't know. You know, you need to come with a solution to the problem. And sometimes it's easier to just avoid it versus come up with that creative solution.
For us to be like typing behind it and saying a negative thing, or this shouldn't be that way. And, you know, the keyboard trolls or whatever you guys call them, or like, yeah, we want the easy answer, which is it shouldn't be that way, but I don't know what else to tell you. So like, find a solution. Like, we want to be, it's like, again, we're comfortable, so we don't want to see change. And then we are like, we want the easy answer or the easy way out of it, instead of, like you just said, instead of finding a solution. And it's hard. That's right. Where it's like, it takes a little bit more effort, but really, it's like anything else. Does it take a little bit more effort of, like, maybe instead of being so quick to respond, maybe think about it. And sometimes
think about some actual solutions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think the next point kind of tags into those few people that maybe do come up with a solution or have the creativity and like, hey, yeah, I think this is a great idea. They're hesitant to bring it forward because of a fear of failure. And they don't want to be the person that people are, you know, talking about, the internet trolls. So coming up with a solution and proposing that to people takes risk, you know, and that potential for failure will keep us from seeking out and pursuing some of those solutions to our problems, because we've probably come up with, you know, the problems we have typically aren't new problems. They're problems that resurface over and over and over again. And maybe we've tried something in the past and it didn't work, or it wasn't sustainable, or we didn't give it an actual valiant effort and stick with it because problems are like bad habits. They're going to keep coming back and we can't just, you know, shut them off. You have to actively take control and actively pursue a different habit in order to overcome bad habits. So kind of the same concept with problems. Any thoughts on fear of failure, risk-taking, that whole concept?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a challenge, but, you know, it's just like anything. We know what to do, or we're so sick of it, or we want change, but it's like the idea that maybe you don't want, you know, do you really want change? Or do you want to just stay down in that negative drama triangle because that's easy and that's where your bad habits have been forming? And just like anything, yeah, to make a new habit.
Comfortable there, right? Like, you know what to expect in that negativity loop, in that problem loop. Like, these are the problems you've always had.
Yeah.
I think that leads well into the last point that we have about, you know, sometimes it's easier to identify problems over solutions because we are hindered by the limited perspective that we have on the problem. When we are so close to a problem, it's hard to see the bigger picture. And so sometimes having that outsider that's able to look at the big view, the big overview of the problem, the potential solutions, what you've tried, what you haven't tried, what's worked, what hasn't, and allowing someone to, you stepping back and allowing somebody else to offer insight, that can be hard. It can be really hard because, like we were talking about before we even jumped on today, is that there's a lot of emotions that are entangled and entwined in the problems that we have. We are emotionally attached to our problems and maybe not so much the solutions.
It's totally true on that. And I think of that in a lot of like areas in my life. I mean, I'm not going to talk politics or anything like that, but just the idea of like politics or, you know, religion or, you know, all these like things that happen. And it's like, as much as we may disagree with some of these things or agree with them and other people have different feelings on it, it is exactly that. Like, sometimes you have to be like, separate the two. Like, okay, is my thought process on this specific topic, is it based on emotion because I feel this way and I don't want to, you know, all those things that come out with, I don't even want to talk about it, but, you know, like all these things that come out because you're like, okay, is this based on feeling that I don't like this, where this is going or what they're, you know, approving or all that stuff? Or is this actually like a fact? Like, did this happen? Is this how the new policy or whatever is going? And yeah, separating the two. And it's hard because we tend to go to our emotions right away. Like, I'm feeling hurt by this new policy, or I can't believe that this would be passed because of, you know, this or this. And it's like, okay, but is this an actual fact? Like, no, is this like, yeah, you know, like,
one, is it a fact? Yeah. Two, that's your emotion, that you're the story that you're telling yourself. And three, what can you actually do about it? What do you have control over in this moment?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kind of what I said at the beginning. Yeah. Like,
yeah, probably not much.
Control, you know, over my friends of what they thought. You know, I only have control over myself and what I felt. And then I need to separate, like, what am I feeling about that? Am I mad because I spent this money and it's not going as planned and I want to be reimbursed? Or the other side, where it's like, the fact is they can't control Mother Nature, you know, which was raining and windy and all that stuff, which I'm sure led to the power outage. But then they can't control also the power, you know, either. So it's like, that's a fact. It's Mother Nature and it's power. They have no control over that. the other, emotion is I'm feeling like I'm not getting my money's worth, and I want to feel like I'm getting a 5-star experience, and I want like these things. So it's separating the two, and it's like, that's where it gets a little tricky. It's like,
are you the victim?
Are you the victim? Is this emotions? Are these facts? Why am I yelling at this person? And I totally know it's out of their control. Like,
right. I know. Nothing. Like, right. Yeah. Sometimes we have to shift our expectations.
Yeah.
So,
and like you said, distance yourself.
Yeah. So overall, you know, it's important to acknowledge that there are challenges when it comes to creating and coming up with solutions for the problems that we think we have, but identifying one, like, is this a legit problem or is this just an emotional issue that we keep rehashing, telling ourselves a story about a problem that doesn't actually exist. There's that. But that we should be actively seeking solutions. And so that might look like seeking outside support, asking for input from someone else, maybe who's experienced a similar problem or someone who just has a different outlook on things. It may be practicing mindfulness, which goes along with that, like disconnecting the emotion from the actual problem or the solution at hand, looking at the practicality of things, and then just being open to trying new approaches. If something hasn't worked in the past, it may not work again unless it's tweaked, unless there's some other circumstance that we're going to modify. Because let's be real, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. So if you're coming up with the same solutions for the problems, maybe the problem really isn't a problem. Maybe it's just an emotion. And two, did you give the solution enough time? Was it a solution that even made sense? I mean, there's lots of things that you can take away from that. But final thoughts would be stop giving your problems all your time and attention. Mm-hmm. Find some positivity to focus on.
Truly, like what can you take out? Yeah, that's a positive out of everything that you experience. And why have your first thought be, well, that was awful, or that was negative, or that was not what I wanted. And like, yeah, how can you turn that around? I mean, even like I said, with this employee, I was like, I'm just going to go and bring sunshine to all these other people, you know, that are around me, because I don't want to feel like that. And like, I don't want, you know, because how that can totally wreck your trip, or that can totally wreck what you're trying to do, you know? And even I know we talk about health all the time. It's like when we're trying to get healthy some way or another, whatever works for you, it's like almost all the initial things that you start, you know, before you start getting healthy are negative. They're like, you know, like I feel this way. I'm tired. I'm lazy. I don't have time. I don't, like, it's all negative. And it's like, yeah, switching that around. But that could be a whole nother conversation. Another
episode.
Yeah. So anyways.
All right. We hope on that note, thanks for coming back after your vacation to chat, and